Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. We are alive another day. And if you're looking at what's going on in the world, every day must be appreciated, because from the look of things, people with nuclear bombs have gone bananas in terms of their thinking. But yeah, we're still here. We're still here. So that means we can still, we can still bring you Home Run, your drive time show from, 4:30 to 6 with Helmut and Dwight just here on Eagle FM. So stay tuned. Just stay focused on, the AI discussion, which, you're gonna laugh a bit with today's discussion, because it's, centered around, of all people, Sadiq. But look, sometimes I really want to be serious, but the comedian part of me is dragged out every now and then. And today's subject, which which is about the 57th plenary session of SADC, where they met last year between May and June, to talk about how can we implement AI with all its advantages and disadvantages. How can we balance it? How can we, first of all, harness it and use it in our governance strategies? What? Yeah, indeed. Now.
No, there's another development there. Just so that our listeners also know.
Yeah.
Just before Helmut and I walked in here, I gave Helmut a heads up with regards to that report. It's a 14-page report. It's tiny, but it had some serious impact. Some serious economic impacts. That if things go the way they are allowed to go, which ultimately speaks to, we don't have the opportunity of understanding what are these developments outside of Namibia in a SADC sense that are ultimately going to impact us. Helmut, when I asked you just before we stepped in, what was the second major talking point from the 56th plenary engagement, which were the findings in the report that they also had to look at the 57th platform last year, was primarily the formation of a SADC regional parliament. Now, there is already a Pan-African parliament.
Yeah.
The Pan-African parliament was having its sort of like, what do they call that thing where you interrogate...
Is that even a parliament?
Where you interrogate the purpose of life, you know, those philosophic discussions. They had that engagement in 2020, 2021, 2022, where they were... exploring the purpose of the Pan-African Parliament, because the heads of state of AU already just go and decide things that need to happen. And it was a good thing of that conversation platform back in 2021 to 2022, where the parliamentarians of the continent were asking the question of, and they commissioned most report in 2019 to 2020 regarding, should the Pan-African Parliament exist? And should it have any particular teeth? Similar to what you would find in Namibia.
Does it have teeth?
I don't know. It happens. It comes around and happens at odd times when there are major developments in Namibia. Dwight has to look at the major developments in Namibia. Helmut also has to look at other major developments. When we come back, the wind has blown away the talking points, for example, that happened at the Pan-African level. Now, the second talking point, which is not listed in our topic for today, which is not on our poster for today, because the label, the title of the report said...
It's around AI and governance, yeah.
Yeah, AI and governance, harnessing AI for parliamentary usage at a SADC level and then at individual nation level who are part of the SADC organ. And primarily, you would then assume that's what this discussion forms on. And then suddenly, here, the last three pages we're rolling into, and feedback from 56th SADC Plenary Parliament engagement, which is held, by the way, Helmut, just across the road, just across the waterfall.
Victoria.
I don't want to laugh. I don't want to laugh. But the 57th one took place in Victoria Falls town, which is just across the bridge, across the waterfall from Livingston, which held the 2024 SADC parliamentary platform.
Guys, like, so where do you think the 57th plenary SADC plenary platform is going to be held?
Just across the river.
Yeah, let's just go. We're not going very far.
Let's not even beat about. Just across the river.
I mean, we can walk.
You literally can. And that's what happened. So, yeah. So, that was an interesting fun fact. I sat there laughing because I was in, I had visited both, spots. Livingston, which is the nice part on Zambia side. I'm sorry, Zimbabwe. Victoria Falls town at that stage was not such a nice place. It had good accommodation. It's just, you know, street lights were an issue. So.
There were
no street lights in some parts.
No kidding.
Look, this was 2011, 2010, 2011. I mean, it was before they did the zigging of now. But at that stage, they brought in the US dollar, you know, scenario in Zimbabwe at that stage. And, you know, you had to, with your South African rands that you're walking around with, because you can't walk around with Namibia's monopoly money across the border. Things were happening. That's all I can say. Things were happening. But yeah, Helmut, you were still busy with the intro.
Yeah, look. I have some serious, I have some serious concerns, and these are security concerns. When it comes, every time that we start talking about, things like governance and mixing it with artificial intelligence, for example. Now, that's why, I went back to Antonio Guterres, the press conference on his 2026 priorities that he gave earlier this year. And one of the things that he pointed out is is one that is concerning the power transfer from a law, from governments. And this is something that's becoming more and more apparent by the day in a lot of Western countries. And we are, everything that happens in the West is just a matter of time before it ends up here. The transfer of power from governments, not from governments to the people, that's how power is supposed to flow. If you look at how the mode of governance, aka democracy, that we have adopted. But the Secretary General Antonio Guterres' concerns were that the transfer of power is not happening in a way that is structured in democratic ways. It's in a way that it should flow from the government to the people, but it's flowing from the government to private tech companies. When you look at that, you understand why Yanis Varoufakis like to call it, tech feudalism.
Techno feudalism.
Yeah, because, we have hit a 180 degree turn, and we are going back to where we came from in terms of dictatorship. The democracy itself, as a form of government, can be traced back to the Athenians. That means we have had it for a very long time. It's been refined in terms of making sure that power is separate, to make sure that it's not concentrated in the hands of one man or one organization. That's why you have your parliament, your judiciary, and you have your executive branch, and all this more like safe, you know, fail safes that are put in place to make sure that they don't, you know, start practicing each other's power to the point where you have a lot of, you know, basically chaos that ensue, because power is just toxic. It doesn't matter who you are. A lot of it is going to make you start doing Donald Trump things.
Mm.
Yeah. To this day, Congress is super pissed at him because according to the American Constitution, Congress is the one that's supposed to give a green light to the president for the president to wage war. But now the thing is, well, he's just using loophole to just, well, basically, well, go to war, which he's doing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of chaos in the Middle East. So that's what happens when power, it's too concentrated, and we have known this for a very long time. Now, not only is it taking place in the, not only is it taking place in governance structures today, especially in a lot of Western countries, but it's also happening in that transfer of power. But commercial break.
Kape na ondando da falada Shoprite aloho kukunine ondando da wapibi mipumbi wae siku gasho mba pira yako kanju goyo baby soft fresh yo onja diri mbali diri mongoi kodro mirango hetato nambali no seno mirango hoi nongoi osho omirite seredom tiwako maego go Colgate triple action ningo omirito mirango heri nandano do active salt kodro ashkolongo na heri no seno mirango hoi nongoi ino futashi wulite po Shoprite price firikosi waga hetato gamaritza nuvo ko Shoprite akuke waimina already steady cook ko one Africa no mapaduro ku Shoprite nami.
Welcome back, and we continue. So now, on the earlier this year, the Secretary General gave a press conference on his 2026 priorities, and his concern is that now in his conference on priorities of 2026, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, we are witnessing perhaps the greatest transfer of power of our times, not from governments to people, but from governments to private technology companies. Now, these tech companies, these companies are just businesses. Mm. They will do what they will do to obviously increase the return on investment, so they can put giant smiles in the face of their already filthy rich shareholders.
Yeah.
Except now, everything is being made for profit to the point where we are witnessing governance slowly becoming for profit. Because if this transfer of power is, because this transfer of power is one scary one. Because, we have strategies on how to mitigate power abuse in governance. I don't think we have strategies on how to mitigate power abuse in the private sector as public group.
There is no way, Helmut.
We don't have separation of power. You can't impose separation of power to a private company. They're going to tell you, look, that's in parliamentary discussion, not us. Our priorities are different. What are you going to tell them?
I don't think you could tell them anything.
No, you won't.
Specifically because it's a discussion of, should you meddle or should you not meddle? How do you meddle in the affairs of a business? And to what, and specifically a private business, and to what extent?
Yeah.
But there's obviously been accusations, for example, in this, like one or two economists I've spoken to who highlighted that the government has to stay out of the private sector space or the economy. But then you go and ask the discussion in terms of how do you say something like that, for example, in the space of education, in the space of public healthcare? Because we have divided systems in Namibia, specifically in those two systems, we've got divided systems.
The private and the public one.
Now, you can't say no private schools may not exist because there's actually a law, Helmut, that exists that says you may not bar someone from opening up a business that, firstly, if the business is not harmful or is not designated as being a banned business, a business that you should not participate
like
in.
Like the illegal kind?
Yeah. Then you cannot restrict someone's ability to start a business in that regard. And that's why we see private schools exist. That's why we see private hospitals exist. And there's nothing you can do.
Actually, it's a good business model if it's well regulated.
That too. Or... Yeah. If the business literally has a happy customer base, a customer base that that is willing to pay the price that the business is demanding, then there's nothing the government can do.
Yeah.
If you cannot prove to the government that the business model of a private business person is harmful to the population of the country, then the government cannot intervene. They literally cannot. So, if we start from that particular hypothesis of when do you regulate a business, the question then, you know, the question then has not a vague, but a pretty broad scope to try and cover. If you try and narrow it down in terms of business practice, there's literally a law that tells the government, and the government actually lost such a law. They actually lost such a law, guys. If you guys ever remember the very naughty shop that existed here in Windhoek, it was operated by a guy, by a man.
Naughty what?
A very naughty shop. It sold very naughty products.
Oh.
The kind that us teenage boys loved, remember, Helmut?
Been there, done that.
You know, especially the magazines. So, there's a court case about that and about that specific law.
Magazine? Oh, before the videos they were.
And before the internet. So, the police was used to close down this guy's business. He was literally arrested by the police because it was claimed it's immoral and what.
Yeah.
All that. And then his lawyer just pulled out that law, that piece of legislation, and said, if you cannot prove that it's harmful to Namibia, to the Namibian people, to the community, to the Vintu community, you cannot interfere in this person's business.
Oh boy.
It was the first time. I looked it up specifically because, when I heard about that law, that specific law, you cannot, and it's part of the freedoms in the Constitution.
Yeah.
You cannot restrict the business of someone. If you can't prove that it is harmful, then step back. And this happened like 1997, 1995, thereabout, here in Namibia. So there are those instances. So, the SADC parliamentary plenary session, the 57th one.
Wait, there was a business?
No, literally, Ahmed. I can't say the business name.
I know, I know.
Even though the business doesn't exist anymore, primarily because, you know, we are trying to keep our discussions quite simply PG-13 during this drive time session while people are driving with their kids in the cars as well. So, if you look it up,
The parent company of that company is called Ethical Capital Partners.
No, not me.
Ethical? Really? Anyway, governance and AI. Look, the thing is, look, sometimes the things that I look up are just diabolical.
Ahmed, you were making me look at the Easy Wallet notifications. I didn't even check where you were typing the thing. But then I saw the number. Then I saw the name of the thing.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Now, look, the thing is, I totally understand, you know, why that took place, because you have to understand, even in a lot of Western countries, for a very long time, the adult entertainment business was not a business model for a very long time. It's something that was
it was a taboo business model.
Yeah, it was a taboo business model. And the irony is, it's known as, the oldest profession?
No, that's the other thing.
Oh yeah, that's another one. That's another one.
It's parallel to the activity, because here's the thing. The actors in the one that is viewed as immoral is that both actors are paid for.
Yeah.
Remember, it's a basic entertainment company that hires two actors to shoot the scenes, you know, the spicy scenes. However, when you look at the world's oldest profession, there's no acting.
Yeah.
There's literally no acting. Whereas...
there's literally business.
There's literally business.
Yeah.
They run parallel to each other. Now, here's a fascinating thing. Obviously, with the emergence of OnlyFans, it makes things weird. Because now you will find, you know, that girl that popped up on the internet. When she became 18, she literally made 23 million in 2 days.
She became 18?
When she turned 18 last year.
Uh-huh.
She literally, and she went and...
You can only participate in the business if you're 18.
In the US.
Was that something she was waiting for?
It seems so.
Just looking forward to 10-18?
It seems so.
People were waiting for her to 10-18?
People paid 23 million. She made 23 million literally in half a day in earnings. Now, OnlyFans is not like YouTube that takes a percentage, or like Kick or Rumble or Twitch that has digital advertising that is streamed onto you while you are busy providing your content to your fans.
Yeah.
No, it's the fans are paying directly to you.
That explains why they make that amount of money.
Which sounds literally like the oldest profession discussion.
Yeah.
It's a perverse business model. Just to cite that to you, dear listeners, it's a very perverse business model.
That's one of those challenges that's coming with technology. And it's just a matter of time before we start having that conversation here. Actually, it's already here. We're just not talking about it. Because I think it was late last year or earlier this year when, it's supposed to be a modeling agency based in South Africa. That way a lot of women came out claiming that, they thought it was a modeling agency. Then they ended up being recruited into
spicy situations.
Yeah. Now the thing is that was in South Africa. And like they say, every time South Africa sneezes, Namibia sneezes too. I just don't want to go the different direction. Namibia sneezes too. Now, the thing is, because of this digital connectivity.
Yeah.
It's already here. We're just not talking about it. But, it's one of those things that we basically have to start having, one of those discussions that we have to start having that's coming with the universal digital connectivity. There are several objectives that basically came, that were points of focus in the 57th plenary discussion, especially with regards to AI.
Mm.
But one that I just decided to zone into because it covers a wide range of basically technological discussions is one of the objectives is that harnessing artificial intelligence. The theme is harnessing artificial intelligence for effective, efficient parliamentary process in the SADC region. Experiences, challenges, and opportunities.
Yeah.
Experiences, challenges, and opportunities. One of the main objectives of the 57th plenary session was to explore AI-driven innovations. That's a good thing. AI-driven innovations, excellent. To enhance parliamentary efficiency. Yesterday when we were talking about the cybercrime bill, that has been a bill since 2013.
Mm.
Yeah, so AI in that way would really come in handy in terms of fast tracking, the implementation of these bills because it's really needed. Now, and you're looking at, that, if you ask me, speaks to parliamentary efficiency.
Mm.
And, transparency and inclusivity while addressing now, that's where the challenges now begins to come in. While addressing challenges such as cybersecurity and digital inequality. If you just, if you look at what's going on in the Middle East now, especially if you look at it just strictly from social media standpoint, you are going to run in a lot of deepfakes.
Helmut.
There are a lot of AI-generated videos about explosions taking place where there are no explosions.
A streamer. I don't know if you heard of Johnny Somali. Do you still remember our discussion on Johnny Somali, the American streamer?
I don't think so.
We had it just at the end of last year. But Johnny Somali is a streamer from the United States. He's literally the same like this iShow Speed guy that was here at the start of the year in Namibia.
Yeah.
So Johnny Somali was... the kind of streamer he is a real, in real life, IRL, that's the term they use, in real life. Somali did a whole bunch of weird stuff in Japan, literally almost got arrested by the Japanese police for this, for his weird antics.
Wait, is he the guy that ended up in a women-only train? I think there's one Western guy who, you know, who got into trouble with the Japanese authority because he, you know, he hopped on a women-only train.
I think it's him. Or I think it's the other guy, the other American. So then Somali almost technically got kicked out of Japan,
yeah,
which no one ever gets kicked out of Japan, ever. Then he goes to South Korea, and he's currently in South Korea, but he's been in South, his stay has been longer than expected because the Korean police actually arrested him.
Oh.
Why? Because one of the charges that was brought against him was for the interference in business. What he did in one of his live streams was he, okay, we almost have an ad on us. While streaming to his fans, he was making Chinese noodles or Korean noodles,
mm-hmm,
and he poured the sauce, the water, mm-hmm, out on the floor while doing that. But I'll get to the other parts after the break.
Get your glow on with ShopRite's Hair and Beauty Ring. Visit your nearest store and buy everything you need to nourish your skin, love your hair, and look your best. Keep on shining with deals like 400 ml Dawn Body Lotion, all cream, all variants, for $29.99 each. And 125 ml Easy Waves Regular or Coarse Cream Relaxer for only $22.99 each. Don't miss out on our great deals to get your glow on. Offers valid until 8 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real. Just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Just a minute past the hour of 5. Chinese noodles. Oh, Korean noodles.
Korean noodles. So, Johnny Somali was, that was the one charge for interference in business, meaning when you create some sort of disharmony while visiting a business. You know?
Supposed to be a cultural disrespect of some sort?
Some sort of that. You could view it like a cultural disrespect, but it's literally an interference in the goodwill and in the well-being of the business functioning to the benefit of a community where it's installed in. That's the one charge. The other charge, guess what was it? So, Johnny Somali and one of his, there in Seoul, in the capital of Korea, one of his sort of like nighttime excursions while any of his chaos then Korea, he bumped into another streamer. She's Korean or Korean American, but she lives predominantly in Korea. Now her streaming name is it Bam Bam or is it, because there were two streamers that he bumped into. The one he decided to go and make a deep fake about. Now in South Korea, making a deep fake about someone, and the deep fake video has the person portrayed in a sexually explicit, nature, literally is tantamount to you automatically being incarcerated and thrown in jail.
Yeah, that should be the case everywhere.
Maximum at least 2 years. Maximum 2 years. Now, when I give you an indication of that particular scenario, Helmut, in a South Korean context where the South Koreans have no patience for jokers and people who want to make funny practical jokes,
mm-mm,
with deepfakes and playing around with AI and stuff. That is a good example to go because it literally says do not defame people. It's similar to the defamation and libel legislation we already have,
yeah,
which literally says Do not portray someone in a light that they are not. Johnny Somali is currently being found guilty. I say currently being found guilty because he's still
under prosecution.
Yeah, because he committed one act in one jurisdiction of the city of Seoul and another act in another part of the country, of the city, which has a different jurisdiction. So it's like two lower courts.
Okay, these people don't look up the laws of different countries of what they're about to do before they go and do these things, do they?
No. Somali didn't. Somali didn't care about the Japanese context, what the things that he did in Japan. Somali just did not care. When he showed up in Korea, the Koreans were watching his streams, being the, like the everyday Koreans.
Yeah.
They were waiting for him to come to Korea.
You know, I think the bare minimum you can do before going to a different country is understand, I mean, it's just look up, and we have the internet nowadays. It's the easiest thing you can do. Just look up, what is offensive, what's considered offensive in these countries, because, the things that you consider normal here could be offensive in someone else's culture.
Mm. But remember, Helmut, this is ultimately the scenario that, you know, took place. So, yeah, Johnny Somali was obviously trying to be funny, and yeah, the second deep fake that he's also being charged, because it's two deep fakes, is this Korean this Korean girl, when she decided to go out of the country, even though she made I think she made the she reported to the police, but then she decided to leave the country to tour, because some of the streamers, what they do is if you're a in real life streamer, you go to another country or outside of town, or let's say, and you go walk about and you interact and you show your fans how you interact with everyday people. And then they pay you tips. Your fans, they pay you tips. Yeah. And that's not what Somali was doing. And the downside of what the other streamer, the lady, the Korean lady did, was she literally decided to go to Australia. From Australia, she decided and then went to another country in Southeast Asia, and that court case could not proceed because the courts had to the authorities in Korea had to get hold of her to tell her, you need to come and appear as a victim of what this guy did. We need your testimony, and if you don't appear, because it's similar to like in Namibia, you know, when you commit murder in Namibia, it's the state versus
you,
the accused.
Yeah.
It's even though the family of the victim doesn't want to proceed, the state will tell you, hello.
Anything criminal, the state will be like, just step aside on this one.
Yeah, don't worry. We will still automatically
just step aside.
And that's unfortunately the same scenario like in South Korea. It's, you know, in an event, for example, in the US, I don't know how it works in the US, but in the US, things are slightly more lenient. But with us, and like in the context of South Korea, if it's anything criminal, meaning it's in an act.
Yeah.
It's literally
anything criminal, that's the state of like,
the state versus the person.
Yeah.
So that's what Somali is facing. And that's ultimately what's happening to him. Now, here's the thing. He's going to get maximum at least 5 years of jail time in South Korea.
At least 5 years of no streaming.
How are you going to stream while you have to defend yourself from not dropping the soap, Helmut?
Yeah. Well, you can stream yourself dropping the soap. Let's change a platform and we're making money. Now. All right.
Yeah, so Sonic Plenary. Sonic Plenary. Yeah, so they were exploring interesting talking points in terms of AI integration or AI adoption. But here's the thing, Amu. It's not even like, what you call it, like over the moon kind of things. It's like for basic things of transcription. Basic things like uploading, you know, being able to upload a document very quickly.
No, just listen to the second objective. Well, no, the objectives they have, they had was four. One is explore AI-driven innovations, like the one, this is the first one that, the one that basically took my attention.
Mm.
Now, the second one is integrate AI and innovative tools in parliamentary decision-making and legislative process while ensuring ethical compliance. Okay. Now, strengthen parliamentary oversight through data-driven governance models and mitigating risk of AI bias and misinformation.
How?
Promote a greater public participation through digital tools and AI-enabled consultation mechanism whilst addressing the challenges of digital literacy. Now, let's go back to the whole, is it a 5-year strategic plan of the, you know, of MICT. Mm. Again, I would go with the you know, digital literacy is always secondary or last.
Mm.
I would say start with it. Before you go to infrastructure and all those, just start with digital literacy.
But here's the thing, Almut. What are we talking about in digital literacy terms? Are we talking about training people, meaning every school will now train every Namibian regarding digital literacy?
This is how I'm looking at it. You know, in the early days of AIDS awareness, how a lot of, AIDS awareness campaign participants used to walk around with all kinds of demonstration equipment.
You mean paraphernalia?
It's something like that. Just to make people aware of the consequences of
demonstration equipment. What is that?
They had a lot of them. Now, in different colors. Look, the thing is, I think that type of awareness is needed in terms of digital literacy.
Yeah.
Because the more digital connectivity you provide, the more people obviously, you know, are going to be connected to the internet. And the more people are going to be connected to the internet, the more they're going to run into a lot of things that they must be made aware of. Misinformation is being one of them. And misinformation is a very broad concept. And when you look at it, the one is coming from, obviously not everything that you see on, you know, on the internet is true.
Mm.
Some of it is just made to attract, most of it, especially on social media, is coming from rage bait. Because rage bait, it helps a content creator get more reactions on their post, and therefore, the chances of rage bait content trending are higher than content that's just made with not rage bait intentions in mind.
True.
Yeah. Because of that, it's not surprising that a lot of content creators are gravitating towards rage bait content, because it's very easy for them to go viral, and every content creator wants to go viral. And now this is a very, very painful psychological, psychological response, because everything that's like normal in induction, it doesn't trigger us to respond. Therefore, we don't interact with the content. When we don't interact with the content, it doesn't go viral. That's why a lot of people are going to rage bait content, because they know that if I just go on the online and start a feud between Kavangos and Zambezians, that thing is going to go viral just like that.
Mm.
Now, if you're just looking at the positive interaction between the two regions, then people will be like, I mean, we already know that. I mean, it's a good thing, but yeah. So, rage bait is one of those things that I think we don't talk about enough. That's one. And that's even before you get to AI and deepfake.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where the sharing now comes in. That's why even our cybercrime bill emphasizes that when it becomes an act, sharing, all you just have to do to get into trouble is sharing. That's it. Because that's how things go viral.
Yeah, it's straightforward.
Someone just sends you by accident, mistaken identity. They send you, a wrong picture they're not supposed to send you. Then your first instinct is to share.
Mm.
And then by the time that, by the time that they realize and delete that picture, it's all over the internet.
Yep. It's going to be straightforward. But, I mean, if we get back to the essence of what the SADC guys are trying to achieve, I mean, here's one of the more surprising things outlined by our own speaker of the parliament, of the National Assembly.
Yeah.
So our own speaker went and said that Namibia has already gotten the data protection bill, the cybercrime bill, and the AI bill going. And I'm even sitting here going like, we had an AI bill? We didn't even finish data protection and cybercrime yet. Heck, Helmut, we only started two weeks back with a cybercrime discussion.
Yeah.
And in many cases, I was surprised, for example, like me personally was surprised to hear that we had been for 2 years staying silent because the UN Convention of Cybercrime was, had to finish up in that discussion. So, I mean, it made things tricky and it made things look a little bit, okay, so you are still, you know, you're still harvesting the potato. You're not even baking it yet. What's your plan, Namibia? Because you need to start moving fast. Whereas countries that already know that their economies rely heavily on technology and technological involvements, they've already got laws set. They're already charging people like Johnny Somali them for using deepfake technology and AI technology ultimately to help, like you said, the sharing and dissemination of the disinformation components. And I think it's about high time we as Namibia, we start getting serious. But this then begs the question. We can have the conversation about being serious, Hamud, but is our MPs actually getting serious about this discussion? I mean, some of the opposition MPs attacked the Minister of Health, Minister Luvindao, when she just made a comment about AI. What was it? AI powered.
Is it AI ambulance?
AI powered ambulances. Yeah. And it wasn't even, as she said, it was going to become an active policy. It was just an aspiration. All she said was a comment in passing saying, I hope in future we can get to AI powered ambulances.
Yeah.
Why? Because you need someone with a license to drive the thing. You can't just take any Tom, Dick and Harry and tell the guy without a license, you must drive an ambulance and you need to know how to drive an injured person or someone that has a serious ailment in it, that they're suffering from to literally drive the particular vehicle. Now, it's not too much to ask for. Everyone can say, I hope, I wish I had an ambition for something to, you know, of this nature to move or to become something. But if you now get attacked by the opposition party members like last year for saying in a statement, I hope, I wish and future we also get to use AI ambulances, and they find that as an issue and they come and tell you, yeah, you must work on job creation. How? Ministry of Health doesn't generate money. How? Please. Please, guys. Ministry of Health doesn't generate money. Ministry of Health, Hamud, they technically still have to find a way regarding, you remember the two psychiatric centers?
Oh, yeah.
That has to service the whole Namibia?
Yep.
Two psychiatric centers, dear listeners. Every time when I switch on my TV or I watch a movie where there is some sort of a psychological element to the storytelling, there's a psychiatric center, whether it's private or publicly run. It's a psychiatric center per town, per small town, per city, not two for the country. So yes, we have a major developmental issue. However, data protection is key, because I don't know how we move forward with AI framework or AI policy framework, and we haven't even settled data protection and cybersecurity yet, which is still the bane of our discussion. Yeah. Any tech discussion we have in Namibia, for example, like we're having here on the Home Run, every particular technology induced talking point, Helmut, data protection and cybercrime legislation must be key. We can't be baking potatoes or waiting for the potato to grow in the field and we don't have anything. So now the only piece of legislation that plays a double data protection and cybersecurity role is that Electronic Transactions Act that for the private sector banks. That's all. It's the only piece of legislation we've got running around here playing it safe for us, actually protecting us and our transactions. That's it. And that thing was brought in because of the FATF grey listing scenario. I'll say it again. That thing happened because of the FATF grey listing scenario.
Let's go to two major tech countries, China and the US.
Mm.
One thing, you know, one thing you, you see with these two countries is that they want to limit each other's technology as much as possible.
Mm.
Yeah. The Chinese don't want, their tech industry to be dominated by American hardwares, and the Americans don't want their tech industry to be dominated by Chinese hardwares. Now, when you look at that, you ask yourself one question: why?
Mm.
It's because, first of all, technology has become a very easy way to basically get information on a large scale, which is why targeted advertising is a thing today, because everyone has a smartphone. Very easy to collect information and analyze that information. Sometimes even it's even collected, illegally. Like your Cambridge Analytica and Apple's Siri scandal. And now, when you look at that, you can't help but ask yourself one question.
Mm.
If you look at the, computer chips that are made today, a lot of them, if you look at countries like China, like China and the US, they are avoiding each other's hardware because it's very easy to build these chips in a way that gives you, the designer, backdoors.
Yep.
Now, that means if you want ultimate security when it comes to technology, you have to start from the hardware. How much of that do we have going on in the African continent?
0.com.na. I had to add the na there because it comes from Namibia.
Now, what we now have is, we are going to have to, we are going to say we need this, we need a technology that we're going to use in governance, which is a brilliant idea. The organization for, OECD, the Organization for Economic and Cooperation, Economic Cooperation and Development.
Mm.
They compiled a report on this subject last year, 2025, where they looked at, because it's not just SADC that's looking into implementing the use of AI in governance.
Mm.
The report indicates that the Greeks are a little ahead at that, when it comes to the use of AI in, legislative decision makings.
The Italians even.
Yeah, they are ahead, which means it's not a negative thing to use AI in governance. It's a good thing.
Yeah, but the examples that they use it in is like basic things, transcription and uploading and translating.
Yeah.
So technically what it means is helping, for example, the administrators at the parliamentary sessions to, firstly, when decisions are taking place or talking points are taking place, to get the speeches, the contributions from the MPs up on the website or something faster, updating faster.
Yeah.
But that already happens, Helmut. It doesn't improve. And I haven't seen, AI really improve productivity.
What I would not advocate for is MPs sitting in their workplaces and then typing in prompts, like create an entire bill from from scratch. It has to do with this and this and this.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's what happened with the Ugandan chief justice. Do you remember that talking point that happened last year?
Yeah,
where he said they tried to use AI to generate judgments quicker based upon the court cases, and they tried to link the databases, but then the thing started hallucinating. The thing was making up
stuff,
precedences. Other court cases that he was basing his
case references.
And he was going like, "What?" And they were going like, "What the hell is this thing doing?"
There's never even been a case like this one.
Yeah, and it was sometimes even pulling from UK case law.
That's why if you are in university, especially if you're in law school, you have to master how to use AI. Now, because if you just have to, type in and you have no idea how easy it is to come up with a convincingly accurate.
No, wait. No, Helmut. No.
What?
No. Listen, on university level there, I specifically feel, because I've seen plagiarism 101. I know you've also seen it.
Oh, but you bet.
And we had this talk at the start of the year. Remember, I feel AI should be used from an honors postgraduate level, meaning if you have an honors level, if you have an advanced degree,
yeah,
from honors, masters upwards. I feel that's where AI should be let loose. AI should not be let loose between your first 3 years on university. And AI should, and I also personally believe, yeah, personally, these are all just personal feelings. I also believe, allowing anyone between 7 and 19 years access to AI, yeah, any AI website,
yeah,
they should provide, they must have like what the Brits are trying to do and what the Australians did, banning or, you know, blocking certain websites for people of a certain age range,
yeah,
downwards. That's what I feel. The reason why,
yeah,
if you let a little kid go wild with an AI thing, what's the damage that'll happen?
One, it becomes, okay, first of all, they're going to fail a lot of their assignments if they're just copying and pasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for me, it's about the use because, I've used AI in a lot of my schoolwork. The way that I do it is, I'll just feed in a prompt. Mm-hmm. And believe me, ChatGPT will come up with a very convincing looking PDF that you can just copy and paste and submit. You can do that. It looks very convincing. But if you just take that document that you just generated and you just look at the reference to make sure that, because now we use footnotes most. Mm. Now, you are looking at the sources that are provided because you can also just feed in a prompt where, where the reference, is provided in footnotes.
Yeah.
Now you can just go through the whole document verifying just, verifying your sources. If this AI tool is saying that, this sentence is from this book that was written by this author in this year. Then you look up at that, you look up that book and you find that the book doesn't exist. Now, if you can pick it up, your lecture can pick it up. Yeah. If you can pick it up,
yeah,
your lecturer can pick it up because, it looks convincing. Don't get me wrong. It looks very convincing. But again, your lecturer is not any idiot. And there are tools that they're basically using to detect things like that. And sometimes you don't even need the tools. All you just have to do is look at, the beauty of it is, it helps you basically, at least me, it helps me, basically go through a lot of sources.
Yeah.
Because those ones that I can verify, then I can find out, wait, this book exists.
Sure. Yeah. With that kind of a thing. Yeah. Or even, for example, Helmut, that thing that I was taught, the basics of data analysis with that one workshop I attended in 2024, it can help with that kind of activity.
Yeah.
Or it can help you with, when you've got that massive 1,000-page medium-term expenditure framework document that we had last year. Yeah, it can help with that, sort of like just summarize it for you quickly. Just because if you say the prompt, if you take the prompt,
yeah,
you supply the resource, which is that document. And then you just ask, please just summarize for me from this resource. Klar. It'll just, you contain it there. But if you go and say, please give me a judgment on this, and you don't give the source or the resource, you're going to have weird things. It'll give you Jack and Jill, that nursery rhyme there, Jack and Jill have skipping down the hill, and then Jack fell down and, broke his crown and water got spilled and all that stuff. That'll be the kind of conversation you'll be looking at from AI if you don't give it the source, the resource.
So it speaks into the prompt that you're feeding in.
Okay. So how the training went, Helmut, was be specific. Never have an open-ended prompt when it comes to AI. If you're playing around with ChatGPT, if you're playing around with ChatGPT and you're playing around with Anthropic,
DeepSeek.
DeepSeek was a bit basic. DeepSeek told you literally past that year, when it came out, 2020, what? 3 or 4? 2024. It came out 2024. DeepSeek will tell you past 2020, you can't ask me for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It literally asks you that. And if you were playing around with the Google ones that were free, because if you have a Google account or you at least have a paid version of your Google account, meaning you have all the extras, you get access to more extras. then you've got Notebook LLM, which is the large language model of Google, and you've got Gemini.
Yeah.
Now, the LLM has got different features, Notebook, from Google, because I used Google. I decided to just use Google. I'm just Googling everything. The Notebook has got certain functions that you can play around with versus what Gemini can do. Gemini is like your basic, it does what ChatGPT does. But if you use Notebook, you can have a conversation with the AI. You can give the resource and you can tell the AI have a woman's voice, have a man's voice, and let these two voices have a conversation about the resource I gave. And you can make up anything, Helmut. It's wonderful. And then I sat there going like scary, like, nah, I'm not gonna do a personal project on this. But it was wonderful. But here's the thing also, Helmut. The SADC plenary report that you and I obviously are basing our conversation for the day off starts, they start with this airy-fairy perspective. When I say
airy-fairy.
When I say airy-fairy, dear listeners, I'm meaning that first and foremost, our speaker, because six people went, it was the speaker of the National Assembly and two other people of the National Assembly and then three people from National Council. So they went and attended this event last year in Victoria Falls Town. And we go say, yeah, Namibia is on track to doing this, but we just have bills. And then we go say yes at the same platform to say, yes, SADC must, look at actively rolling out the SADC parliamentary or plenary parliament, whatever that thing is, plenary thing platform has to start rolling out so the SADC plenary is sort of like not a formalized regional parliamentary body, but it's a thing that parliamentary representatives from all SADC members attend. Just so that you know, dear listeners, this is actually what the SADC plenary is all about. So they cite, the SADC regional, the SADC plenary should look at actively adopting AI for its particular functions. But here's the thing. We are agreeing to the idea of something without having firstly in our individual countries sorted out individual legislations. Because do you know what then happened? Right after the first part of the report.
Yeah.
We flowed into the second part of the report, which was the feedback from the 56th plenary engagement, which was just across the river, just across the waterfall, just across the bridge in Livingstone, Zambia, was that literally they said, we should move to vote to make the SADC plenary the SADC regional parliament. Let me say it again, guys. We literally went and we are agreeing in principle as Namibians, our parliamentarians, that to change the SADC plenary to the SADC regional parliament. Now, to do that obviously means a whole bunch of conversation has to come and take place here, which I've not heard as yet. Because guess what? We're debating. Two parliamentarians are saying hey, hey to each other there yesterday.
My favorite part is, it starts with a prayer.
No, that has always been there.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying it starts with a prayer.
I used to roll my eyes when the former speaker, Kachivivi, would start with a prayer. Please, dear Lord, let things be peaceful. I'm like, First, I would laugh because I was who are you praying to?
First of all, I don't know who wrote that prayer, but I don't think
he used to write it himself, Kachivivi. Kachivivi's things came out of, but he didn't write it. He literally closed his eyes. So what can you read? So homeboy literally said it just like that. Freestyled it.
I have a sneaky suspicion the new one is written down.
Yes. Probably every time when the speaker Kukungelva Amadila and deputy speaker.
Yeah.
What's his name? Katamelo.
Now, look. Look, it's considering the place, it's one of the funniest prayers I've ever listened to.
Is this the first time you've watched the parliament?
No. Look, let things be peaceful.
That's why I'm laughing. That's why I'm laughing. Because obviously of past references, you know?
When? Is that a prayer or just low-key sending a message, guys? Let's behave today.
No, there's a, they do that a lot in parliament, especially from the speaker's perspective. Please let deliberations be sound, and you know that the one was actually where the what was it? The deputy speaker Katamelo said, please let us do our, let's do our work, what we are here to do for, which technically, Loki probably told everyone in that chamber.
Hey, guys.
You guys are not serious?
Let's grow up.
So yeah, I like the prayers a lot, because the prayers are like a precursor to probably, okay, let's sit up and see what happens. You know what's going to happen today?
Yeah. Now, the reason why every time that we talk about the adoption of AI is basically everything, you know, every form of technology in governance is, you have to, you first have to understand just how important information is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, 2012, the African Union headquarters inaugurated after being funded and built by the Chinese. And, fast forward to 2018, we're having a whole different discussion on whether or not, the Chinese, bugged the headquarters, or it was, someone else that bugged the headquarters and then blame it on the Chinese. To this day, that question has not been resolved. Why? Because a lot of things are foreign. You're adopting a lot of old things. Now, when it comes to technology, we're already walking around with laptops, and laptops and smartphones. Mm. That has chips either coming out of China, South Korea, or the US.
And we are worried about a parliamentary session.
Yeah, we're worried about
that. Wow, no. Hamoud, that's nothing. They stream those sessions live on YouTube and on Facebook.
Yeah.
So why are they worried about being bugged?
I'm sure they do have some kind of private discussions.
Nah. I mean, what else can happen? I mean, because the whole platform is supposed to be, they are talking there about transparency, yeah, and good governance.
Yeah.
But why are you then having private discussions?
I think when it comes to the whole AI discussion, it's more than, it's more than what's being discussed, what's being publicly discussed. Because if you look at the tools that are being developed by a lot of tech companies,
oh no, I understand what you're meaning now about that particular story. Earlier, back in last year, I interviewed Dominga Ndala regarding the Africa Women's something that she participated
in. Attended in Addis Ababa.
Yeah, that she did. And at that stage, she told me that the internet kept coming and going because there were signal jammers, because there was some sort of dignitary situation happening at the same AU headquarters on the other side of the building.
So the signal jammers were intentional?
Supposedly. And I can also technically understand and thus also assume that when the heads of state meet at that Addis Ababa headquarters,
there's signal jammers.
There's going to be obviously certain particular, security protocols to be applied.
Now, and look, the use of AI itself, I don't think it's much of a concern in a way that who is building the tools is going to be a concern, because everyone, now a lot of tech companies are known for one thing, building backdoors. A lot of them are known for one thing. They are going to build backdoors.
I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, there is nothing you can do unless you invest in your own technology.
Yep.
The Chinese are doing that.
Yep.
And the Americans have been doing that. And the world don't even talk about the Russians.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's one thing about technology that is borrowed for serious use. I had to find out, I only found out last year that every every country that buys, take for example, fighter jets from the US, they're given a code. Like the Japanese, for example, use that. They're given a code, and that code, they only use it I think it's the one that expires. They only use it per operation. They don't have the free range use that the US and Israel have. For some reason, Israel has you can just have and use as much as possible. But any country that buys American hardwares, there are limitations to the to the hardwares that they buy compared to the ones that is used by the Americans themselves, which is not rocket science. I will keep the best for myself. I will do the exact same thing. So that means anyone that's selling you something that you are not producing, they're giving you a nerfed version.
Yep.
Yes, let's use AI, please. But the hardware it's gonna be running on is foreign. The software is gonna be running is foreign, and the language and everything is gonna be foreign. And we'll have passwords and patterns for what?
Well, look,
the use is nice.
The discussion about passwords back in 2011, when between Windows 7 and Windows 8 came out, there was a conversation already that time about the use of passwords or the future of passwords. Now, some IT guys would argue, just don't have dodgy stuff on your PC.
That's it.
But then here's the thing. Why are you still manufacturing antiviruses programs? And why does Microsoft, Windows Firewall still exist? If you don't want people to have passwords anymore, or you would advocate for no passwords. It's a conversation, Helmut, about, how do you actually roll out or deploy a technology? Let's take the gun. The gun was obviously made for military purposes, but then it got expanded. Obviously, no laws back then in the 1500s to stop everyday people from also using the gun with gunpowder. But in a modern day context, if we look at the modern day guns from 1900 this way, you ask yourself the question, for example, in a sense of, are you in a state of war? Do you live in a neighborhood or a town where it's literally lawlessness? Lawlessness is rife.
Yeah.
Can you say yes, categorically 100% say yes, the town I live in, the neighborhood I live in is lawless? And then people would ask you, why do you still live there? Why didn't you move away? Now, if you would say, yes, I own the piece of land I live on, I'm trying to sell it, I can't sell it. Sure. But then if there are things like the police are there.
The environment like that, who's going to buy it?
Exactly. But let's say you identify that there's a police station in that place. There's a hospital. There's other government services there. Then you start asking the question towards the government itself. What are you guys doing to ensure safety and security? Now, Helmut, if you go to any place in South America, they would seem on the face of it to be a safe tourism spot for any visitor. If you just go like as you are. But obviously each place has its own problems and each place has its own issues. Now, everywhere you go, you would find differentiating scenarios. I saw specifically firsthand coming into China how if you're a foreigner, you have to scan your passport into a specific machine before you even get to the immigration gates.
Oh.
You have to scan your passport. You have to give fingerprint sets of yourself. And then you have to look into a camera before you get to that immigration point. To say, this is Dwight's face.
Like a pre-immigration check.
Everything. But you're already at the airport. At their airport. You already landed. And you have to do all of that before you get to the immigration, processing. You get even there, then they obviously, basic immigration protocol. You have to obviously check that the documentation, the identification documentation is in line with a person's face that's standing in front of you. And they obviously check that everything's in order. Visa, yeah, you go through. But the conversation based upon how that technology was deployed was one that, in some regards, some people in the world, if that's not Northern Hemisphere, complained about, yeah, the unwarranted data collection regarding their identity.
Yeah.
But does that now mean that the immigration department of a country's home affairs ministry should now forego because 3 or 4 European or 3 or 5 Americans are unhappy that Namibia is asking them to fill in a form or to apply for a digital visa on arrival process before they come here? Whereas you can literally find the same tool being used somewhere else.
Yeah.
You then also have to cascade that same talking point, for example, into the SIM card registration exercise we went through.
Yeah.
Which is a problematic scenario.
In what way?
Okay. A SIM card is not similar to a bank account. A SIM card is also not similar to a car. Now, remember, I'm highlighting to you products or services or things that you also use on a daily basis.
Yeah.
A SIM card is also not the same to the smartphone that you buy. But remember, a smartphone is a consumer durable. A car is also consumer durable. With a smartphone, when you go buy a new smartphone, Helmut, you're not going through paperwork just to buy the thing. Because the shop is trying to tell you, with ease of access, just pay.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintook beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintook beer, it's that barley, hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintook beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Welcome back. It's 16 minutes, actually 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. So just complete your statement so we can go to a live read, and I will come in with my OECD report.
Yeah. So just to highlight the particular talking point that I left it off on, a cell phone, you don't walk through various, bureaucratic
layers of security.
Yeah, to verify that you exist and that you've got
money.
Yeah,
it's safe for you to own,
Yeah. But if you had to go and buy a car, the first thing that you would go through, do you have a license?
Yeah.
Then it gets registered on your name. That's the car's license. Then the car gets bought. Then there's a whole sort of like a releasing process. Even if you bought it cash, there's a whole sort of like a releasing process that you, administrative process you've got to go through that actually releases the car into your custody from the business to you.
Yeah.
And those are that's the particular principle. Now with a cell phone.
Ownership and possession.
Of a SIM card, there was obviously the discussion about, the legality of this particular aspect. Because we didn't have data protection legislation, still not. And this data was being harvested. Just so that people can know, or let's rather say the entities, the powers that be, want to know, who is Dwight calling at midnight?
Yeah. That's the scary part of technology.
Yeah.
Even today, the data is being harvested 24/7 for targeted advertising. So, but before continuing, let's take a live read. Get your kicks from ShopRite liquor shops, Get your kicks from ShopRite liquor shops, a Smirnoff 1818 original vodka for only $159 and 99 cents. Helles whiskey and Gordon's dry gin for $179 and 99 cents each.
Mm.
KWV 3-year-old brandy for $199 and 99 cents. Richly brandy for $189 and 99 cents. And J&B Scotch whiskey for just the $239 and 99 cents. Please don't drink and drive. ShopRite liquor shops care. All in all, in the 12 remaining minutes, the adoption of AI for me is not a problem, be it on a SADC level or on a national level, and on a personal level and in governance. The thing is, the concerns being pointed out even by the, you know, SADC parliamentarians themselves are genuine concerns. How can we adopt this tool, which is very useful, can make our life very easy in terms of efficiency in how we do our work, but how can we do that with, you know, while navigating all the, with all the challenges that are coming with it? For one, the tools are predominantly in private hands, which is not, which is not rocket science. And that won't be the first time that we use, like on a government level or on a, you know, on a regional level, tools that are manufactured by private companies. I mean, all you just have to do is look at the hardware we use. You can look at your car. There are a lot of, car brands that are being used by both the public and private sector. But then you look at the company that's manufacturing it. It's either, partly state owned, you know, and partly public, or it's just straight up private. So, we're talking about, I think you can look at softwares like, we use Microsoft and it's, that's private. So, how to navigate the challenges of the use of AI?
Mm.
That's a whole different ballgame. And it requires a lot. If it were up to me, I would say we have to go and start from the hardware and then build it from the ground up.
Yeah.
But then when you start proposing that, you have to ask the amount of, of research and development time and money that goes into actually accomplishing that goal. And that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
And that's something that Africa is already not doing in a lot of ways. We are not doing that in a way that we should in agriculture, industrialization, education, you name it. That's why a lot of our knowledge, even historical wise, a lot of our history information, it's found outside Namibia. I found a book, a very wonderful book that I wanted to read about the Kavango, about the Kavango region in one friend's house, and only to find out it's written in German.
Yep.
Like, hang on a second. Here is a Kavango standing right in front of a lot of information about Kavango, except he can't read it.
What? It's his book.
The Kavango in question is yours truly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Almut.
Now, I'm just looking at this book. I'm like, I really want to read it. How can I do that?
Really sorry.
Well, you can use AI, but this is a very thick book.
Yeah, you'll have to translate every page with AI.
I don't know. I've done AI translation before. Yeah.
Instead of saying... Was wins? Huh? No, what's another? No, let me stop the German. let me stop with those jokes. Yeah.
Different. Look, different languages have different contexts.
True.
Yeah, have different grammar rules. Yeah,
yeah.
Have different grammar rules. And one of the most notorious language in terms of grammar rules I come to learn is Finnish. Finnish is savage.
Suomi. Are you talking about Suomi?
I think so, because if you look at the Duolingo world, they would tell you, what language you want to learn? Finnish. Yeah. Okay. Not the best.
All the best.
All the best. Because, it has somewhat similar grammar rules.
Mm.
Yeah. Except if you look at languages like Russian, for example, they have something they call cases, and they have 6 of them. Yeah. This is, you know, this is something that you also find in, you know, and then they also have something you find in Spanish and French, where a table is male, you know, a chair is female. Mm. So you have to use, you know, pronouns like she and he in reference to objects.
I know.
Hey, I'm like, hang on a second.
It's the der, die, das from German.
Oh.
It's literally the der, die, das from German. So French has it, Spanish has it, Italian has it.
Now, when you're talking
the
about
the nice thing is the Mandarin doesn't have it. Mandarin doesn't have it. That genderization of.
I think that's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing.
They don't have it. Now it makes things weird.
The thing is, if you are saying my car, for example,
which is a possessive term.
Yeah, a possessive, yeah. Because you first have to understand, what pronoun is a car in this language? A car is female.
But in English, okay.
In English, it's just a car. That's a good thing about it.
It's just a, is it a noun? Or is it
It is a noun.
Yeah, no. Isn't a noun a name?
It's a noun. You have a proper and improper.
Yeah, it's an improper one because you're identifying an object.
Yeah, it's an object. Yeah. So yeah. Now the thing is, if you want to say, this is my car.
Mm.
Yeah, this is my car. That's very straightforward in English. Boy, oh boy, don't try that in Russian.
Yeah. Mm. You're not going to give us a Russian lesson.
That's where I'm headed. Now, you use moi for male objects and Maya for female objects. Maya.
Which can be a woman's name.
Like, what sorcery is this?
Which can be someone's
name. But Finnish is even worse.
Yeah.
But look, these are the advantages of AI. You can learn pretty much anything.
Mm.
Yeah. But making laws, but I think when it comes to the use of AI, and I have to choose between making laws and prosecuting prosecuting individuals, I would say, please, maybe in transcripts, if you just want to transcript something or maybe just, double check something, you can use AI. But building the whole document from, like legal drafting from the ground up, please don't. Please don't.
Hey man, it's gonna be the Wild West out there, Helmut. There's nothing we can do. There's literally nothing we can do.
Look, I don't think making judgments is a bad idea. Mm. As long as you just verify that the cases being referenced as precedents are real cases that existed, that actually took place. And these cases are actually, have somewhat similar facts to the case that you're adjudicating on. AI has been, what's the word that you like? Hallucination.
Mm.
Yeah. They'd be like, a case like this took place in the UK and this is how it was ruled. And then you look at the case and find out that the case is just a made up case.
Mm.
And at this point, someone is already on an electric chair. You've already made your judgment. It's like, whoa, just please don't switch it on. Don't switch it on.
Have you seen that video of the guy that was given his last meal?
Look,
in Indonesia, was it Malaysia? He was given his last meal specifically like hours before his execution.
I don't understand why they do that though.
You should have seen how that. I'm sorry for laughing, but that poor guy was shaking so much.
While eating.
Could they give you your last meal?
Okay, why though?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm dying.
I don't know.
I need the energy to do what? To fight an electric chair?
I don't know, Helmut, but they gave it to the poor guy and it just ultimately showed primarily that, Indonesia, Malaysia, what's the other country's name? Thailand, Philippines. Those guys are pretty heavy on certain crimes, on certain things that would be considered not a crime. For example, in the West or even in an African space, but then it is a crime that side.
Yeah.
Like a punishable by death crime scenario.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what would be considered normal here, but it would be a crime punishable by death halfway across the planet?
Okay, let's, for example, say the concept of manslaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, manslaughter must also exist in Namibia.
Yeah, the first time I read it, I read it, manslaughter.
So...
English.
Do you know what threw me out? The difference when I had to read about draft, but draft as the... As the beer,
uh-huh.
and I kept reading it as draught.
It's not just you, not just you. Men's laughter, only to be told it's men's laughter. I was like, huh?
Yeah, it's now, slow. Yeah, so if you look at that concept, that principle, or if you were like a serial, like, you know, things that the guys just get sent to jail for here in Namibia, like a serial rapist, or you are a, you know, a... and a repeat offender, like a thief, you continuously just go back to to stealing and robbery.
Yeah.
Things
just
like that.
Hold the example. Get your kicks from ShopRite Liquor Shops, a spin-off 1818 original vodka for $159 and 99 cents. Harry's Whiskey and Gordon's Dry Gin for $179 and 99 cents each. KWV 3-year-old Brandy for $199 and 99 cents. Richly Brandy for $189 and 99 cents. And a J&B Scotch Whiskey for just $239 and 99 cents. Please don't drink and drive. ShopRite Liquor Shops care. A repeat offender.
Yeah, so things like repeat offenders. That, those, in that country, Helmut, or in those countries specifically in Southeast Asia, they don't waste time. Yeah. I mean, for example, like Indonesia has got what do we look at? Was it not 600 million? How many people did Indonesia have?
Whew.
Yeah, it was 600 or 500 million people. Because it's a pretty populated country. It's
Island.
Islands.
Oh, yeah, they have been.
Collection of islands.
Like a pelago.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting,
Oh, 17,000 islands.
Yeah. And each island is basically a nature conservation or national park by itself. Cause it's one of the places in the world that has the most sort of like protected areas. But even when you look at the concept of what AI tries to do, I mean, Helmut, there's now new con, there's no, okay, besides all the academics, economics academics coming out and saying they don't see any productivity, and some of them are calling the discussion of cryptocurrency and AI, cryptocurrency one a Ponzi scheme, AI being that it's a bubble, that they are calling it a bubble. I even did the discussion, remember the discussion we did about the UK Central Bank, Bank of England, who highlighted there's like an overvaluation taking place specifically regarding the tech sector in the US, and everybody could see it's just in the AI.
Especially in relations to AI. Yeah.
No, it's just AI. Not anything special relation.
Just
AI.
So there's a lot of overvaluing going on.
Yeah, because AI was literally absorbing much of the trading and much of the transactions taking place. And when you finally had to roll over into another talking point specifically that's coming out, is that now some of the independent tech people are saying, but AI is not adding any production.
We don't see any.
Any production.
Of the promised value.
Or of the promised value addition that it was being promoted to be. Which once again means it falls back on us humans to be the units of production.
It keeps taking me back to Mr. Sherburn's, the guide to Namibian economy.
Yeah.
When information, especially the example he uses is about oil and gas, you have to take whether it's coming from the, from investors or it's coming from politicians. You have to take it with a pinch of salt because the politician is going to inflate the numbers in the name of votes, and the investor is going to inflate the numbers in the name of share prices.
Mm.
Bottom line, inflation of numbers is going to come from both sides.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Translation, overselling is part of the game.
Definitely. And obviously, overvaluing...
Yeah, overvaluing.
...is the other part of the game.
Yeah.
So, if you see it looks like it is just a dung beetle with a roll of dung, then make it a super dung beetle with a golden piece of dung and sell it as if it's gold.
I know, but look, the thing about, I think the thing that a lot of big brands in the world, in the business world, the one thing they understand is that once you build a brand big enough, people are so dumb, they'll buy anything.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, what's one of the most expensive piece of art that came out was that last year, 2024, was a banana sellotaped on the wall.
Yeah, there was the other accidental piece of art where the guy forgot his piece of trash, literally where it looked like it was just a normal thing standing there in the middle of the gallery, and everybody thought it was art, but it was trash. The guy said, I forgot my trash there.
And but, for someone, it was something that portrays the chaos in the world we live in. It's trash. What chaos? In
a banana sellotape to the wall is come as something representative.
Yeah. Look, you can just interpret anything to mean some made-up idea, and you can make millions out of it. And if you ask me once, you know, that is money laundering 101.
What? Art?
Art on that level.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's money laundering. That's not art.
Sellotape a banana to the wall.
Someone sellotaped a banana to the wall. And then you have my favorite. Look, my favorite is Balenciaga selling a towel skirt. I'm like, what?
Or the new trend of in Europe where they are selling you these torn clothing things that existed in the 90s.
I'll give you one Kim Kardashian example. Yeah. 4 minutes into a business and economic segment, and except today is not business in business and economic segment. It's China Corner. That's with yours truly, Dwight. But before we move, before we switch to that, let's take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge
Nikikwate Thanoa na Monica ko 6 minutes into the hour of six. That brings us to the end of business and economic segment. Just wanted to give my Oshuambo a trial run. And I ran out of vocabulary like 5 seconds into my sentence. But until tomorrow on Home Run, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, please do stay tuned for China Corner.
See each other again tomorrow, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.